Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We do have three martinis for you today. They're not good, bad, and crazy. We're starting with the breaking news as of about a little after 11 o'clock Eastern time when we're recording this on Monday, and that's the horrific violence. And regardless of what the motivation was, you have to consider it terrorism on some level at the Washington Navy Yard. Conflicting reports on how many people were shot, conflicting reports on number of shooters. What we do know is that a lot of people were shot, and it appears there are fatalities here. We don't know motive. We don't know even the situation with whether the shooters are in custody or not. We've heard contained and maybe one down. But, Jim, obviously, this is another horrific attack. People will probably, and some are already, trying to make political statements out of it. But right now we've got victims, some that looks like lost their lives, others perhaps clinging to life at area hospitals. And obviously our prayers are with their family, and our encouragement is with the folks trying to contain this situation and end it.
Yeah, this is a moment where you just want to watch the news reports come in, and hopefully the reports are not too contradictory. There are already some folks who've gotten in trouble this morning for listening to the police scanner and putting out information that was kind of sensitive. For much of the morning, you know, there was an initial report of shots fired. It's kind of an unusual spot. The Navy Yard is a fairly significant military installation in southeast D.C., not too far from the Capitol Hill and not too far from the Nationals Park. Really a otherwise very vibrant neighborhood that's been built up in recent years, and it was on the Navy Yard facility. So it seemed a little bit surprising, and your first thought goes to Fort Hood and the shooting we saw there a few years ago. What has really been concerning over much of the morning has been the conflicting reports indicating two or three shooters, indicating that if this were multiple shooters, it certainly would not seem like this is a case of workplace violence, as the administration so ludicrously characterized the Fort Hood shooting, that this was not a lone wolf and that this was some sort of organized effort to shoot Americans on a, you know, secure military installation. Once again, as the time of this recording, that's not yet clear. And you know, while all scenarios are bad, while we know that people have been killed and it's bad either way, the question is this just some lone nut or is this an organized terror attack? And I think either one of those are bad, but I think the terror attack option would be particularly chilling considering how this is supposed to be one of the safer spots in the entire city. So we will be keeping an eye on that. Check on Radio America and National Review Online and basically any place else. I think everyone's keeping the eyes of the world are on this at this moment. And hopefully we will know more soon, and the situation will be secure with no further loss of life.
Careful what you read on Twitter, because a lot of that's been retracted, as we've already mentioned. There's one Russian politician, I can't remember the name, who was actually gloating over this happening. So
partners in peace, Greg. But that's a good segue, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. On to the a second martini for today. And obviously over the weekend, there was a deal struck between the Russians and the United States in Geneva over what to do about Syria's chemical weapons. And the deal is essentially that Assad has a week to declare what he has and has until mid-2014 to destroy them. And obviously he wouldn't be solely tasked with doing that, but the quote-unquote international community. The big win for the Russians here is that the U.S., the only punishment for noncompliance in this resolution is sanctions and condemnation from the U.N. Security Council, which is a huge win for Assad. Assad was also asking for the U.S. to stop arming the rebels in exchange for any deal, and apparently that's not part of the deal. So if there's a win for the U.S., at least from the Obama position, that's it. Jim, there's already reports that Assad's moving his stuff into Lebanon. He's moving it into Iraq. And so who knows what he'll actually admit to. But the question is what we've achieved here, other than Obama getting away from a red line that he didn't really want to enforce in the first place.
Yeah, this is a very bad scenario. The only thing that makes it look not so bad is that most of the other options were pretty bad as well. I think it was the Jerusalem Post or Haaretz was reporting that Assad might be moving his chemical weapons to Hezbollah. The whole point of these sorts of interventions were to prevent chemical weapons from ending up in the hands of terrorists. And now that might very much be the result of this deal. This is bad for America. It definitely sends an unnerving message to our allies. I think the entire world sees that Obama came really to the brink of a war that he very clearly did not want to fight, and that the rest of the world was not willing to stand with him, that the Congress was not willing to stand with him, and the American public was not willing to stand with him. And Obama put forth his best persuasive effort, and really not many people were persuaded. The end result of this, when you don't want to fight a war, is that you have to take whatever offer is on the table. And this was the offer on the table for us from Assad and Putin as the deal maker. And this leaves Assad in power. And in fact, you know, goes from this was a regime we wanted to get rid of. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, Obama said Assad must go. And now, look, Assad is the only guy who can make this deal work. If he really, you know, because if Assad falls and the rebels take over, they could argue very clearly that, you know, look, Assad made that deal. We didn't. That's the old regime. That's no longer applicable. And or, you know, my guess is that Assad falling would just kind of lead to a serious period of anarchy within Syria for a serious period of time. So Assad has gone from public enemy number one, being compared to Hitler by Kerry a few weeks ago, to now the indispensable man in Syria, the only guy who can ensure that the chemical weapons get turned over, if in fact he plans on, you know, honoring his part of the deal, and there's no guarantee of that. This is a really awful deal. Unless you thought war was worse. And I think there's some argument to be made that war could have dragged the U.S. into a conflict with Syria and a bloody, brutal civil war that they were, didn't clear necessarily any good guys. I expect you will see the world promptly forget about Syria because it's turned into such an enormous humiliation for the Obama administration these past few weeks. Nobody else in the world was interested in punishing Assad. The civil war can continue, and my guess is that it will get a lot bloodier with conventional weapons, not with chemical weapons, in the weeks and months to come.
And, of course, when the administration is asked about it, it's the line from what they were saying even before this deal was struck in Geneva that, well, without the credible threat of force, this never would have happened, this session in Geneva, which led to this agreement, which most people, I think, who have followed this story closely think is a bad deal, as you explained why that's the case. But expect Obama to present himself as the anti-Bush because he supposedly solve this through peaceful means rather than a military strike, even though that was his plan in the first place. On to martini number three now. And Jim, it's mid-September. I think it's the 16th today. That means 2 weeks left in the fiscal year, and the government's only funded through the fiscal year. There needs to be a budget approved for next year. Right now, it looks like leaders in both parties are content to push a continuing resolution. Of course, you have the conservatives in both the House and Senate who want that to be contingent upon a full defunding of Obamacare. And if that weren't enough, there's a debt ceiling deadline coming up about a couple weeks after that. And Obama has said he's not interested in negotiating in any way, shape, or form. John Boehner has promised a whale of a fight. And, of course, he has shown an aversion to any sort of government shutdown. Nobody wants that. But I have to think right now the Democrats probably have the PR upper hand here. What's your thought?
I tend to think you're right in that we have the Republicans are in a complicated and not so pretty difficult situation in that Obamacare is indisputably very unpopular. The question is, would the American people be okay with a confrontation that leads to a government shutdown as a result of attempting to defund or delay Obamacare? And it's not so clear the American public would stand with the Republicans on this. A couple weeks ago at a rally, Ted Cruz said, "The Republicans need to do something they haven't done in a long time, stand up and win the argument." That would be great, Senator Cruz. And I'd really, honest to God, love to see that happen. I'm just not really sure that the current crop of congressional leaders can do that or that the American people really are with us. I think they're given a choice between a government shutdown and an Obamacare program that they don't like. I think they might choose Obamacare. I'm not certain of that. I think nobody is 100% sure. There's some, the American people don't like either of those options. The question is, which one of those will they take? I think we can guarantee Obama will demagogue the bejesus out of this, and we'll see if that actually moves the numbers on it. The argument from a lot of folks on the right is, look, this is our hill to die on. This is where we make our stand. Either we stop Obamacare now or we never do. And I think there's a certain emotional compelling component to that argument. I just think there's a little bit of strategic thinking that's a little bit unclear. I kind of wonder how much this recent Syria fight is going to affect everybody's thinking on this, in that I think a lot of folks on the right look at the way Obama handled this Syria mess and feel like, oh, this is a guy who's indecisive and backs down when confronted and you know, is kind of, you know, his knees start to wobble when the pressure is on. And so they think that when push comes to shove, Obama will back down. I'm kind of skeptical that Obama is ever going to sign legislation repealing something named after him. You know, lawmakers generally tend to like things that that are that big deal. However, I suppose it's possible. I don't think it's necessarily likely. But the other thing also is that I think Obama being having come out of the Syria situation so bad will make him ever more, you know, feeling the need for a political win and even more needing to reassure his folks on the left who are afraid he'd turn into a neocon warmonger. that he will happily fight, you know, get into total brinksmanship to fight for his signature domestic legislation. So at this point, it looks like we may go, you know, to the edge and beyond the edge of hitting the ceiling, et cetera, because at this point, it doesn't seem like anybody has that much of an incentive to back down. And you have these types of, you know, games of chicken are tough when both sides are totally convinced they're going to win from a collision.
Well, they're certainly tough to avoid, but I think you're right about Obama's mindset coming out of Syria. Despite the public face, I think he knows that most people believe he got the worst end of the deal and that Putin kind of outplayed him in this thing. And so he's going to be absolutely bent on proving that he does have this spine of steel. And he's I think he feels much more comfortable, obviously, going after Republicans than he does Vladimir Putin. So
you know, I wouldn't expect it's him an to enemy he can really sink his teeth into.
Yeah, don't expect him to be conciliatory at all, I don't think, in the next couple of weeks. But we shall see. Once again, obviously, all our eyes on the Washington Navy Yard, and we'll obviously keep track of that. Probably have more commentary on that throughout the week, obviously. As Jim mentioned earlier, every news site in the world will have details as they become confirmed throughout the day. So please keep your eye on our sites and any others that you favorite. But Jim, for now, we'll call it for a day and talk to you tomorrow.
Everybody stay safe out there and see you tomorrow, Craig.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and please join us on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.